outside at 9 a.m. in the morning here in North Carolina. It was a wonderful time to gather outside, and I took my coat off this morning to preach outside because it was a little hot. It was a little humid, but it was good to gather for worship outside, and we enjoyed our time with Sunday school at 9:45 at 10 a.m. this morning, and we're looking forward to gathering worship today. For those that are gathered with us in the pews this morning, thank you for joining us for worship. Your bulletin in the pews will give you an opportunity, a resource for our worship today. The words and music will be on the back of the bulletin. You can use that this morning or use our worship screens to worship this day. Also, for those that are gathering this morning via Facebook Live, thank you for joining us for worship. You can go to our website at www.fbc-elon.org and use the bulletin there as a resource for our worship this morning. I did want to remind you that this afternoon at 4 o'clock for our ministry teams, we do have our church council meeting. Please make sure you're present for this meeting this afternoon as we discuss some important things coming up in the life of our church in the coming weeks and months. It will be a time of planning and preparation, so please come at 4 o'clock for that meeting. And then for our entire church, church-wide at 5 p.m., will be our Elon Roundtable meeting, our business discussion. We do have a couple items that will come to our church floor that will need to be voted on tonight, so make sure you're a part of that meeting. That meeting will take place upstairs in the fellowship hall at 5 p.m. tonight. So that's at 4 o'clock, church council, 5 o'clock, Elon Roundtable. And then for our deacons, just a reminder, at 6 o'clock, immediately following roundtable, we'll have our time of deacon prayer this evening. So please stay around just for a few minutes after that so we can go over our prayer list this evening. So that's our schedule for this evening. Next Sunday morning, 9:45 will be our Sunday school time, and then our worship service will be 11 o'clock here in the sanctuary. We do have our Sunday night schedule coming back into routine coming up in September. You heard over the last couple weeks, opportunities for our men, opportunities for our women, for our Bible studies. So Leslie Cornell will be leading our women's Bible study. I'll be leading our men's Bible study coming up on Sunday, September 12th. So make sure you mark your calendars. Those studies will take place from 4:30 to 5:30, starting September 12th on Sunday afternoons. Then at 5:30, we'll have a fellowship meal for anybody who wants to come. So be a part of both of those opportunities. And then at 6 o'clock, from 6 to 7, will be our children and our youth activities. So lots of opportunities for every age group. So make sure you're a part of our Sunday night schedule starting on September 12th. If you drove in the parking lot this morning, you probably saw up in the upper parking lot some work that got done a couple weeks ago. And I want to thank you for the hands that gathered to help start working on some of the edging area around the parking lot. And Jerry and some other individuals gathered to work on that area. But we're not done. You also saw up here the bus parking area. There was some a pallet of still some work to be done. Basically, we'll put it that way. Coming up on Saturday, September 11th, we're going to have another work day that morning. We need your help. Anybody that can come and just give 30 minutes or an hour to a couple hours, whatever you're willing to give, we're going to have another work day up in the parking lot. If you're willing to give, and hopefully the Lord will bless us with a 90-degree day that day to do a little bit of work. We hope we were praying for that. But if you can help that morning on Saturday, September 11th, please talk to Jerry. He'll tell you some of the things that we'll be doing that morning to work on the parking lot that day. But we look forward to another day of work that will take place then. Hopefully you received the September newsletter this past week. If you did not, receive it by email. You can talk to me and we'll make sure we'll get a paper copy to you or an email copy to you of some things that are coming up in the life of our church in the next couple weeks and in the coming months. But we're looking forward to lots of opportunities coming up in the month of September and October. Make sure you take note of some of those things coming up in the near future. We are gathered here to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to sing praise to Him, to lift prayers to God, to read His Word, and to see how the Spirit's going to move in this place today. So let's sing praise to God this morning. Let's stand and worship our Lord this morning.
Our first hymn this morning is "There Is a Balm in Gilead," and it's an old spiritual. So let's worship together.
Thank you.
with our faith in God. Let us go to the Lord in prayer and lift up our praise to Him this morning, not just for this hour, but for every hour of every day. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for Your grace that has been poured out on us, making it possible for us to be in Your presence in worship today. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. Through this faith, we have access to You. Lord, as we worship today, may we see the sin in our lives that hinders our relationship with You, that we will be quick to confess and receive Your forgiveness. May we be challenged to live a life that is holy and be a mirror of what Christ did for us. Father, may we be humble and always care for those that are less fortunate than ourselves. Father, thank You for making a way through Christ Jesus, that we may know that we are children of God and can enter Your throne room with confidence, and that You will welcome us in. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our next hymn is Jesus at Your Holy Table. It's to the tune of Come On Christians Be Committed. Let's stand and worship together.
If you don't mind, pick up a couple of those items and bring them by when you come to church on Sunday morning, bring them by during the week, during Monday through Thursday when our church office is opening, swing them by the church. And we'll place them in the bin located here at the bottom of the hallway in our communication center. We're also going to place a box upstairs in the fellowship hall if you want to drop them off there as well. We want to make sure that we're ready for those requests that we know that will be coming in the coming weeks. Also, as many of you know, and we've experienced even today, the devastation that's taking place in Afghanistan. It's in our prayers. We've seen it in the news. Our prayers go out to the servicemen that were killed this week overseas, and our prayers are with all those that are still trying to get out of Afghanistan as we speak this morning. Our prayers are with many of the thousands that are fleeing the country, and many of these refugees will be coming to the United States, many of which will be coming to our state of North Carolina. One of the ministries that is provided here in North Carolina is a house in Raleigh that seeks to help refugees as they come into a country in a situation like this. We are seeking to try to assist them with this ministry. I can't give you specific details of how we'll be assisting with this, but I did want to let you know we will be helping. In the coming weeks, we'll be sharing details of how we can assist with these individuals coming into our country. Simple things like toiletry items, just basic things that oftentimes we take for granted, but that we can help as just a simple way of welcoming those individuals in this difficult time. So two things I ask you to do right now in this time is to pray. Pray for the country of Afghanistan. Pray for the families of those that loved ones that were lost this past week. Pray for the coming days and weeks of the devastation that has taken place. Pray for healing, but also be ready to assist as time comes, as times come in the next weeks and months, because we will be assisting in many different ways. Now, as we transition in this time to our time of prayer and offering, let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning as we pray for these gifts that we come to bring Him. Holy God, we are grateful for your constant presence in our lives. We acknowledge that every perfect gift in our lives is a gift from you. We have listened to your guidance, directing us to offer you our first fruits. So we now join in this generous act of giving. We pray that these resources may care for your children everywhere who are experiencing distress. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen.
Thank you.
summer takes place at the end of August, when school goes back, when students go back to school, school is in session, when most vacations that have been planned are have come and gone, everything has gone by, and we start falling back into the routine of our day-to-day lives. Now, for here in the town of Elon, the end of summer is also highlighted by the return of college students to our campus. And this is something that I thoroughly enjoy. And the reason why I enjoy it so much is because it takes me an extra few minutes to get to church every Sunday morning. Not just on Sundays, but Monday through Friday as well. I have to drive right through campus from my home to get to the church. And most people say, well, why do you enjoy that? It's because I get to see so many new faces. I enjoy that. I enjoy taking a few extra minutes driving through the campus every single day to see who God has led to our community. I enjoy it. It's something I thrive in. And I encourage you to do the same thing. I encourage you to do that during the week. Now, many of us, myself included, sometimes sit at this time of the year, at the end of summer, and ask one simple question, too. Where did the time go? Where did the summer go? Anybody ask that this summer? Where did the summer go? Where did my summer escape to? One of the reasons that I asked that question this year is because I had a list of things that I wanted to get accomplished this summer that I did not accomplish. You know that list? That list of things, the things that kind of creep up to you, they crop up on you, write down and say, oh, I really need to do this, but I'm going to wait until the weather's nice, when I get a little bit extra time, and I'm going to get these things accomplished. I'm a list person. If I don't write it down, it doesn't get done. Well, unfortunately, this summer, I wrote it down, and it still didn't get done. One of the things that I had on my list this summer to get done was to move offices. To finally move from the associate pastor's office to the senior pastor's office. It's been a year since I've been moved from associate pastor to senior pastor. 1 year. And I have been asked multiple times, usually at least once a week, when are you going to move to the senior pastor's office? When are you going to move to the senior pastor's office? I said, I'm going to get there. I'm going to get there eventually. It's going to happen. And so I had scheduled this summer to be the time where I'm officially going to move into that office. Now, I want to encourage you as you leave the sanctuary this morning. I left the door open to the senior pastor's office intentionally. I want you to kind of peer into that office and see what it looks like this morning. So one of the things I was going to do was move all the books from the associate pastor's office to the senior pastor's office. And you will see how accomplished I got this summer. It did not happen. How many of you can say the same thing about your list from this summer? How many of you got all those things checked off your list this summer? How many of you say to yourself this morning, like I'm saying, where did the time go? Where did the time go? My guess is I'm not the only one. Yes, the fact is, not just right now, but a whole lot of life is like that. We face times in our lives where we ask the same thing. We have many good intentions that most of us carry around, but we never get around to them. We never quite find the time to accomplish what we said we were going to do. We wake up one morning and find out that there isn't any time left to do what we wanted to do. The summer has come to an end, and we have to get on with other things. The summer is ended, and the chill of fall is coming. And no longer is there the leisure of saying, well, someday, one day. There is nothing to compare with the frustration of coming to a certain stage of your life at which you realize that you missed out on something nothing quite as disappointing as waking up to the fact one day that it is the 11th hour and there is practically no more time to achieve something that was very important. You're a high school senior, and all of a sudden you realize unless you get it together this very last year, you're not going to get into the college of your choice, much less Harvard or Yale, you know, all those schools that you want to go to. The summer is coming to an end. You're a parent, and the morning you wake up and you see that that young child that you always have pictured in your eye is all of a sudden a young man or a young woman, and now there are other things that are influencing him or her. There are other sources for his or her mind to draw from, and if you're going to shape that mind, that heart is just about over. The summer is coming to an end. You're a man or a woman of many years. You've nurtured many hopes and dreams. You've always thought of yourself as having plenty of time. One day, you will learn that new skill, or one day you'll travel somewhere, or one day maybe you would make that fantasy come true. But time's running out. The summer is coming to an end. Here we are at the end of August, at the end of summer, and what has happened? Where are the good intentions of May, June, and July? Where are the fond hopes of 2 or 3 months, 3 years, 30 years ago, shelved and set aside, still waiting for us to get down to them? The office is still unpacked, and it may be too late. Frustrating. Disappointing. Around 600 BC, the people of Judah woke up to discover themselves at the end of summer. It was a time of enormous frustration. They had planned so many incredible things for themselves, individuals and as a nation combined. It seems they were on the precipice of a tremendous national prosperity and achievement. They had a great king, a wonderful king, King Josiah, who had gotten some significant projects underway. He had begun to rebuild the temple. He had rediscovered the law of God. He had begun to establish the law of God again using the book of Deuteronomy as the basis for their renewal. Everything looked like it was moving towards a national revival, but then the battle of Megiddo. Summer was coming to an end. Josiah and Judah's little army marched to intercept the Pharaoh of Egypt, King Necho, on his way to the battle with Babylon. The dreams of the people were dashed on the plains of Megiddo that day. Josiah was killed. The army destroyed. Only a short time later, Babylon overthrows Egypt, and Judah, with all its bright hopes, all its dreams and ambitions, becomes a vassal of the Babylonians, seemingly on his way to total defeat. The summer was coming to an end. This is where we come to our scripture passage this morning. These are the feelings of the nation at this point. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 8, verses 18 through 22 this morning. You can also follow along with me. The words will be on the screen this morning. As you turn there, these are the cries of the people of Judah being recorded by the prophet. All their hopes and dreams seemingly fading away, feeling that their time has passed. The prophet Jeremiah, the voice for the people and prophet of God, records their pleading cry heard here in Jeremiah chapter 8. Reading, starting with verse 18. Oh, my comforter is sorrow. My heart is faint within me. Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king no longer there? Why have they provoked me to anger? with their images, with their worthless foreign idols. The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed, I mourn, and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people? What happens to a dream without enough time? Does it burn out like dry grass in a summer day? What happens to a dream at the end of summer? Jeremiah would remind us in this passage that the problem is that we have expected God to guarantee that our dreams are going to come true. But we've not wanted to do our part. Let me, to put it another way, it's like this. We've expected to make God have it happen, to insist that God's going to make it happen, but we're not willing to pay the price to make it happen. Jeremiah was hearing the words of the people of Israel saying, is the Lord not in Zion? Or to put it another way, has God gone on vacation this summer? Is he gone? Jeremiah was challenging the people's thought that God's business is to be present only when we need him. Isn't that how we sometimes approach our relationship with God? We turn to him only when we need him, like a faucet in our bathroom. Anytime we want to need God, we need God, we walk in, we turn the faucet on, and the water's there. We turn it on, and it's great, it's wonderful, but you know what? I don't need it right now, so we turn it off, and then we walk away. But if we need it again, we'll walk in and use it, we turn it off, and then we walk away. We don't want to use it up, we don't want to waste it, but we'll go and do our own thing, but when we need it, we know exactly where to go to find it. This is what Jeremiah was saying. He was saying to the people, you have to be willing to pay the price to insist that God's going to be there. You cannot expect God to hop if you're not willing to pay the price of being loyal to him and his cause. How can we expect God to rescue us at the end of the summer, in the 11th hour, if the rest of the time, if the rest of the months, we have not had anything to do with his purposes at all? How can we expect God to do for us what we would not attempt to do for ourselves with him walking alongside? How can we imagine that God will take our lack of discipline, our lack of our attention, our disloyalty, and just fix it with a snap of his fingers? He can do it. But why would he if we're not committed to him in the first place? Jeremiah was calling out the Israelites for not being disciplined, working according to his call. You know, maybe we should listen to those words that were written thousands of years ago. But that's not just the message here either. I don't want to dash any dreams. I'm not here to depress anybody this morning, because there's something else here that Jeremiah was saying. There is another side to his words. I believe that we can learn from Jeremiah that even at the end of the summertime, even when we think there seems to be no more time left, when it appears that everything is lost, we can hang on to the dream because our God is still God. Our God is still God. He's still providing in his own way and in his own timetable. It's not about our time. It's about God's time. I may not to presume upon God when he spoke to act. I may not simply expect to be in the fix-it business and expect him to fix it when I call upon him, taking care of all my mess-ups when I mess up. But Jeremiah's heart cry is the hope that a son morning. Is there a balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Jeremiah was saying, if there is a sickness, is there no cure? The answer is yes. Is there no physician? The answer is yes. And guess what the answer is? It's him. He's the medicine. He's the cure. He's the physician. He's the one who's doing the healing. If we're not healed yet, we must understand that our God does work, will work on his own timetable, in his own way. God is not defeated by our fumbling or our failure. The harvest may be in the past. The summer may be coming to an end. And why are we not saved? Because God asks us to stay committed to him for the long haul. It's not just for the short. It's for the long. God asks us not to panic, not to lose our patience, but to get in step with him. This commitment he desires is not a one-time thing. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's a seven-day-a-week thing. It's a daily walk with him. It's a lifelong journey that carries us through all the seasons of life, through the peaks and the valleys, through the smiles and the tears, through the triumphs and the failures. Jeremiah reminded the people of Israel of this commitment. And I think we need to hear those words today and not forget those when we get down in the dumps that the summer is coming to an end. The summer may have ended, but our commitment to him remains strong, because our God is not just the God of the summer. Our God is a God of the fall, the winter, and the spring too. We can't forget that. Just because we see the summer ending, God is waiting for us to embrace us with an 80-degree day and not just a 90-degree day. He's ready to embrace us with that cool breeze that we all need when things are going too hot. He's waiting for us to commit to him every single day. This is the message of the Lord's table, too. Jesus Christ's death on the cross was not a one-time act, a one-time moment in history. The salvation-giving sacrifice was a life-transforming, eternal gift that is not defined by time or space. This is why Christians return to this table on a regular basis, as many times as we want to, as many times as we can. Anyone can come to the table, renewing our commitment to the God who gave it all. And so this morning, I ask you, are you ready to commit yourself to the one who is in all seasons, who has already committed to you? Now he's ready for you to commit to him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this day. Father, we are thankful that where we see an ending, you just see a beginning. Where we are down, you can pull us up. Where you saw a destruction for the nation of Judah, you saw an opportunity to bring a harvest through your Son, Jesus the Christ. Father, as we come to this time of the table, as we seek to commit ourselves to you, not just at the end of the summer, but in the first of the fall and everything that comes after, may we be reminded that we're guided by your Son, Jesus the Christ, every step of the way. You've brought us here. We're called to follow every single day. We make this commitment to you this morning. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we come to the table this day, we make that commitment to him that we do not take this meal lightly. It is a meal that we reflect on, that we pray upon, Jesus Christ, when he gathered with his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, we are told that as Jesus was eating with his disciples, Jesus took a loaf of bread. And he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat." Let's pray. Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his body. It was broken for us. A commitment that was made to us. And as we turn to you, we commit our lives to you this day. A life that was given, and we dedicate our lives to you this morning. We bring ourselves to you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Christ's body was broken for you. Take and eat all of you. Scripture then says, Jesus then took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and he said, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant that is poured out for many for the forgiveness of your sins." Let's pray. Father, you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to pour out his blood on the cross for us. Every drop, a drop of commitment for each one of us. Father, may we pour out ourselves, every ounce of every being that we have, to live a life of service for you. We make that commitment to you this day, in this moment, in this hour. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. The blood of Christ was shed for you. Take and drink, all of you. Scripture tells us that after they left the table, the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn and they departed. This morning we will do exactly the same. We sing a song of commitment this day, a song that is a song of service and honor to him. And we commit our lives to him this morning. And maybe this morning as we gather here, there's a commitment that you want to make, whatever it might be. Don't put it off. I'll be down front if you need to come and talk with me about that commitment you're making to the Lord today, to God today, to the church, whatever it is. Don't put it off. The altar's always open as well. It's God's altar. It's not my altar. Spend some time with the Lord this morning. Whatever it is, make that commitment this morning. Let us stand and sing our closing hymn this day. those with you, and make that commitment this day, because he has committed his life to you. Go in peace and enjoy.